Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. We have declared war on worry. We're asking God to write a new chapter in our lives in which we can actually become anxious for nothing, okay? And we're learning that while some anxiety is a part of life, that it doesn't have to rule our lives. And we're learning that God has given us a prescription to cure the worry and anxiety in our lives. And I believe that this passage, Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, is so important. I believe every single Christian should memorize it and know it by heart, okay? It's just that important. And so because I want you to memorize it, each week I'm asking a member of the church family to bounce up here with me and to say it out loud, to repeat it. And Judy Jones is up here today. She's excited. She's ready to say Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8 for us. So would you please stand as she quotes God's word.
And I'm anxious. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious in nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving,
present
your request to God. And the grace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is... whatever lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And thank you all.
All right, good job, Judy. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get to work. Father, help us to do more than just memorize these words. Help us to use these words. To use these words to cope with the worry and anxiety that comes into all of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you do, grab those Connect board located up the aisles and take a chance to sign in. And if you're here for the very first time, then we have a great gift bag for you on the back table. You can pick it up on your way out today. Good. Let's start over. I can't handle. Would somebody take away from me? It is what worries you. It is what troubles you. It is what keeps you awake at night. It's the marriage. It is your marriage that you cannot fix. It's the job that you cannot stand. It's the disease that you cannot cure. And it just seems bigger than you. It just looms large over your life. It is what you're most afraid of, most worried about. So answer the question on screen. What is my it? What is the it that I most worry about? And see, you will continue to worry about it, and you will continue to be troubled about it until you do what the Apostle Paul wants you to do in Philippians. He wants you to get these two strong poles down deep in your soul. Remember 2 weeks ago, I was telling you about the elevated deck that my parents put on their home. On one side of the deck, they nailed it to the house, to the frame of the house. On the other side, there were two strong poles that completely supported everything and everyone that was on that deck. Everything rested on that deck. Those poles were the foundation of everything. We're here in Philippians 4. Paul pulls back the lid on his soul, and he lets you look down in there to see the two strong poles that are the foundation of his spiritual life. His spiritual life is built on two strong beliefs, two strong convictions that does for his soul what those poles did for that deck. Paul's first spiritual pole, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I had to be gone unexpectedly last week. The first pole was the sovereignty of God. Remember? The sovereignty of God. In chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Who? In the Lord. in the great God of heaven and earth, the God who is in control, the God who is on his throne, the God who is sovereign. That's the biblical word for being in control. And if you look at the word sovereignty, it gives its own definition. Right in the middle of sovereignty is the word reign. And it means God reigns, that he is in control, that everything is, he's governing everything that happens. Everything is unfolding according to his master plan. And that's why Paul says that you don't have to worry about it, because the great God of heaven and earth knows what's happening in your life, and he will help you with it, okay? So that's the first strong pull down in Paul's life. Here's the second spiritual pull. It's the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. Paul never took for granted the amazing privilege it is that we are allowed to talk directly to that sovereign God. That we have a direct line to Almighty God. In Philippians 4, chapter 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, right? So in this great God of heaven, rejoice in him. And notice, because of him, we should be anxious for nothing, verse 6, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, do what? Present your request to whom? To that Almighty God. And the very important question that Paul wants to ask each of you in this room today is this. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it that worries you? It that troubles you, okay? I know it seems bigger and larger than you, but until you take it and you bring it into the presence of God, you're going to worry about it. It's just going to happen that way. And until you take it and place it behind these two words, pray about it. As soon as you take it and place it behind those two words, everything changes. Because now when you pray about it, now you're bringing it into the presence of God, and in the presence of Almighty God, your it comes down the size, and it no longer scares you or worries you. Oh, you may not be able to handle it, but Almighty God can. And you may not know what to do with it, but Almighty God does. And so we pray about it, and we bring it into God's presence, and we leave it with God, and let him handle it for us. Do you see how these two strong poles work together in Paul's soul? First, he believes in the power, sovereignty of God. And then he says, we talk to that God about whatever troubles us. That's the foundation of Paul's spiritual life, and we would be so wise to do the same. Let's stop focusing on it and start taking it and letting God handle it. And here in this passage, Paul gives us three ways that we are to pray about it. Okay, three ways. Number one, pray about everything, he says. Pray about everything. Verse 6 begins, be anxious for nothing but in every situation. He doesn't say in some situations pray about it. He doesn't say in most situations, in every situation. We just don't pray about the major things or the most important things in life. We pray about everything because God cares about everything. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He cares about everything. There's nothing too small that God doesn't want you to talk to him about it. So how does Paul say to pray? Number one, pray about everything. Number two, Paul says, pray specifically about it. Pray specifically about it. One day Jesus was walking and was coming toward Jericho, and a real interesting thing happened. As he was walking along, a blind man on the side of the road called out to Jesus and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And it's real interesting. Here's how Jesus responds in Luke 18, 41. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, everybody there knew what he wanted him to do for him, heal him of his blindness. But Jesus wanted that blind man to say what his specific request was. And he wants you and I to say what our specific request is. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse 6. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in every situation by prayer. Prayer is the big word. Prayer is the general word. Prayer is that concept of talking to God. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now think about that. Present your request. Think about any request you ever make. Is it specific? Yes. A request is always specific. When you go to the restaurant this afternoon and the waiter walks over to your table, you don't say to him, "I'm thirsty." You're specific. You say, "I would like a Diet Coke, please." We're specific. Any request is always specific. So Paul's saying, when you talk to God, don't be general. Be very specific about what you want to say. "God, tomorrow, I got that meeting at 2 o'clock. Help me to do a really good job with the presentation and help all the technology to work out. Help it all to go smooth." Specific. Now, why do you think Paul wants us to pray so specifically? I can think of two reasons. The first one is, a specific prayer is a serious prayer. A specific prayer is a serious prayer. If I were to say to you after church today, "Hey, listen, why don't you come over to the house sometime for dinner?" I wouldn't necessarily expect you to show up tonight. But if after church today I say, "Hey, why don't you come over to dinner tomorrow night? We'd love to have you come. I'm going to be cooking burgers on the grill. Julie's made some great potato salad. How about if you come around 6 o'clock, I'll text you directions to our home." Do you see? That specific request tells you that I'm serious. I really want you to come. When you come before your Heavenly Father and you say, "God, I'm anxious about tomorrow." That's good. Okay, it's good. But when you say, "Tomorrow afternoon at 2, I'm having that meeting with my supervisor, and you know how she intimidates me. And would you please help me to be able to communicate and not get all flustered and have my voice crack and be able to answer her questions? Would you help me just to be able to communicate clearly to her?" That's specific. Okay? That tells God you seriously want his help, and he will give it. You know what else happens whenever you pray specifically? A specific prayer lets us see God work. And that's always fun, to see God work. A specific prayer lets us see God work. A specific prayer gives God the chance to show up in your life. Because you've asked him to do a very specific thing, and then when he does it, you can go, "Hey, God just showed up in my life today." There's a great example of this kind of specific prayer in the Old Testament. It was when Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, sent his most trusted servant named Eliezer to go back to his homeland in Mesopotamia to pick out a wife for his son Isaac. Now, that's a pretty important job that Abraham gave to his servant. I mean, how do you pick out a wife for your boss's son? How do you do that? Eliezer did it through specific prayer. Once he got to Mesopotamia, he prayed this prayer. Listen to how specific this is. Genesis chapter 24, verse 12. Then he prayed, "Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Is that a specific prayer? Man, that's very specific. When I ask a girl for a drink, if she offers to water my camels, that was not easy. Think about how much water a thirsty camel drinks. So this is a very difficult response, task to do. And so Eliezer says, "Okay, here I am. Here's the situation. Lord, here's my specific request." Look at verse 15. I just love this. Verse 15, Genesis 24. Before he had finished praying, isn't that good? Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. So Eliezer said, "Can I have a drink?" Verse 19. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too, until they've had enough to drink." God honored Eliezer's specific prayer, and Eliezer saw God show up in his life. That's what specific prayer will do for you. So when you wake up tomorrow and you say, "Lord, help me today," that's wonderful, and he loves you and he will help you. But wouldn't it be better if you wake up tomorrow and say, "God, would you help me today with this, 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 and this that's going to happen today?" In fact, I think that what you should do every day when you make your to-do list, I think after you make your to-do list, I think you ought to pray for that to-do list specifically. Each one of those things, pray about them. "Lord, I have this meeting at 10 o'clock today. Help me to be patient with my coworkers." Okay? Or, Lord, I need to go to the grocery store and pick up some food for dinner. But, Lord, would you let us have a fun night as a family at dinner tonight? Would you encourage the kids to be talkative? You see, it's a specific prayer. Pray specifically, and who knows? You may just see God show up on your to-do list. Now, there's one more way that Paul teaches us to pray. Pray about everything, pray specifically, and pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving that we should be grateful as we pray. In verse 6 of Philippians 4, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving." There it is, with thanksgiving. "Present your request to God." Paul's actually saying that you can replace your anxiety with gratitude. That's what he's saying. That right in the middle of what you're worried about, you can express gratitude and for God taking care of it. Back when Julie and I were first married, our first ministry was in this great little church up in the mountains of Virginia, and we loved it there, but the money was kind of tight. And so Julie decided to get a job. The only problem was we only had one car. Well, my parents had this old AMC, American Motors, AMC Matador. That was the name of the car, Matador, okay? How many remember AMC cars, okay? Yeah, they were so bad the company folded. That was just bad, all right? But anyway, my folks had this old tank. I mean, it was a tank of a car. The steering wheel was like this big around, and it had a standard shift on the column, okay? But they said they'd give it to us. It was free. We loved it, okay? So there was only one problem. This Matador had lived its whole life in Pennsylvania, and he had leprosy. I mean, from all the salt on those roads up there, I mean, there was rust everywhere. There were these big gaping holes in all the fenders, okay? Well, we brought the car down to Virginia, and it was just so ugly. I felt kind of weird driving it. So I decided I was going to fix it. I was going to do the body work and repaint it, okay? But I had never done anything like that before. But there was a guy in our church named Jack Bryant who was an auto body man. And so I called Jack up and I said, "Jack, I'm going to try to repair this car and see what I can do." He said, "Jeff, if you ever have any problem at all, just call me and I will help you." I mean, he said, "Don't hesitate. Call me. I promise I'll help you." Well, I didn't know what I was doing, so I called Jack a lot. And every time I'd call him, I'd say, "Jack, it's Jeff, having a problem again. And you promised that you would help me whenever I got into a problem." He'd laugh and say, "All right, Jeff, what's the problem?" Well, most of the time, he came over himself and showed me, but he probably did most of the work. And he ended up, we painted the car Cadillac blue, and here's the finished product. Na-na! We drove that car in Virginia for a couple of years. We brought it here to Memphis when we moved here. We drove it for another year, and I'm honest to goodness truth, we sold it for $300 to a blind man. Honest to goodness, he was blind. His family had two other AMC products, cars, and because they weren't on the market anymore, he bought our car for parts is what he did, okay, is what happened. But back in Virginia, whenever I was working on that car, it brought me such relief to know that I could call someone who would help me, and every time he came and helped me, what did I feel? I felt gratitude for him coming to do that. To have someone who knew how to solve my problems and who would help me when I called. You can do that right now with God. You can do that right now with God. Whatever it is, if you will call to him, he's promised to help you, just like Jack promised to help me. Here's a